Chose. Better. Trying to not let anything happen while I'm busy here to distract me, not you. Let's see. So, morning, church. My name is Enrico, as you heard. One of the elders here, and today I have the privilege to share with you just something that 2 weeks ago I just felt God lay on my heart, and I was like thinking, how do I bring this image to us in the context of what it is that we've been through for this last while? And I'm hoping that as I tie it into scripture, the image that I had doesn't get stuck in your head, but the message actually does. And I've got Harry smiling at me because you'll get to it, right? So today, just a small recap, not a full recap. Last week, we had Rian speak to us on the back of obviously beholding with Mervis, and he said that in some ways or not, we may be following the enemy and not be aware of it. Because there are subtle and deceptive ways that he uses to actually get us to follow him. And in following him, we actually then distance ourselves from God. Think about that image that Maravis had about the walking away, right? So hopefully, like I said today, as I speak, you'll see a bit of a thread that we are feeling because we don't want to be all over the place. We want to find where God is. And we actually want to, I pray this morning that we in the slipstream of what it is that he wants to do. Yeah? So, in doing so, Rian also called us to being vigilant. So, be aware of these things. Because some of the things we might not have, remember his title was How to Follow Satan, the Devil. Right? That was it. It's like, what? No. And when he mentioned some of those things, you may have like, oh, actually, that could be something. Oh, I wasn't thinking about that. And this is the thing that God is laying on our hearts for us, is to be aware, be vigilant, right? But today, what I'd like to talk about is that that call of the enemy might be something, but there is a greater call that we are called to. And it's Jesus' gracious invitation to be a part of his family. So if you allow me to, I'd like to unpack a bit of that. Yes? All right. So Psalm 16, and yours didn't steal my thunder. He was worried about that this morning. But Psalm 16, 6 reads, it says, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." Now, in another version, it says the boundaries, and I carefully chose this one because when we hear things like that, we might just switch off. Right? But the thing that David is speaking about here is the contrast between what those in the previous verses, what the world has given themselves to, and by being obedient to God, what it is that he's been given. And it's beautiful, pleasant places. Even in preparing for this and spending time with the Lord this morning, I was reminded reading when Abraham and Lot's guys were fighting over where the animals would graze. And he called Lot aside and he said, hey, this is all we have. You choose. And Lot chose, he thought he was choosing the more prominent place and so on. And Abraham chose the wrong side. But in choosing so, he was looking through the carnal. I said the last time when I was up here as well, right? But God invites us into his home, where there's safety, where there's love, and where there's care. There's care for us. And hopefully as we see that in this place where you find yourself, in family, there has been love or care. And care, I should say, not all. Right? But also in that, very importantly, I use the word boundaries, a different version. It's not a confining space. It's actually just, hey man, there's all of this available to you. And in there, there's freedom. Right? Outside of this, there may be dangers, which I'll touch on a bit later. But there's all of this. And while it might seem like it's confining, it's actually to allow you to experience that love, the safety, in the bounds of what God has for us. All right. So the image that I had when we were praying two Fridays ago as elders, we get together on a Friday morning, and we were praying for you, we were praying for us, we want to hear the Lord. And I get this image, and I'm like, it's got nothing to do with what we're praying about, right? And it took me back to my childhood, where I wanted to breed with pigeons. So the thing with breeding with pigeons is you need to have a loft, and it can't just be any loft. It needs to actually meet with building standards and all these things and stuff. But that's not what I want to talk about, right? But it was the image of pigeons in a loft, and I'm like, Lord, what is this about? And as Rian spoke to me two Fridays ago, it's like, yes, it makes sense. All right. So with pigeons, they are raised in a pigeon coop. Right? That's what they know. That's all they know. And as they are raised in there, they are fed. They are cared for. The breeder, he spends time in and amongst them in the pigeon coop. It's not them there and him here. He's actually in there, in amongst them, caring for them. And then also making sure that if they need medicine, they get the medicines that they need to get. But then part of that is also because they are in the coop with others, right? And I was trying to look at, so obviously you get a flock of geese. And I was like, what do you call a lot of pigeons? Right? So I'm going to stick to a flock. All right. A flock of pigeons. Hey, is that okay? Or a coop of pigeons, but I didn't want them to, you cooped up. So I didn't want to use that word. Right? So they are in the flock and they're in the family and they get to see and experience what the family does and they get to do what the family does. So I don't see it here. I looked for the last 2 weeks and so on, so I don't see this happening. But where you have somebody that's actually tending to pigeons and actually breeding them, you will see them circle and fly around their home in a group, together, in pattern. And it's an amazing sight because the thing is you'd think that if a bird is set free, they're going to go, right? But no, not these birds. They actually fly around, and then at the end of the day or when they're called to feed, they then come back in to where there's safety because that's what they've been taught. That's what they know, right? And then also with pigeons, because you don't just breed pigeons because they are beautiful. You actually breed them because you want to race with them, right? And the thing about the racing is they actually have a ring on their leg that identifies them as yours, right? So once that ring is put on when they are very little, and it identifies them that they are yours. And then when racing happens, they get taken far, far away from where they actually, I see the nod, there we go. I know a bit what I'm talking about. They are taken far away, sometimes a place that they've never been to before. With a whole lot of other birds, the same thing happens. And the thing is that from the time they leave that enclosure to the time they clock in, basically you have a machine to clock in, I see the nod, yes. So, right, that time gets measured. So the distance from that thing to when they get back to their coop, and that is then how you actually measure whether they've won or not. The thing, though, is when the chaos of that cages, the gates lift, it looks like chaos. Because all the birds are like, and they're like, wherever. And what happens is they circle a few times. They circle. Now you think they don't know where to go, but they're trying to find their bearing. And what happens is, as soon as they find it, we said earlier that our gaze is on him when we leave here, right? You also were saying that. And as soon as their gaze is on where they should go, they dash and they fly home because there's safety. I'm going to be fed. I'm going to be with my own kind. I'm going to be with the breeder, the guy who cared for me since I was little. Yeah? So that is the picture that I got in the prayer time that had nothing to do with pigeons. All right, so just so you're with me. So I was like, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? Also part of that is that on the way and outside of the coop, there are dangers. There are things, there are predators. There's also hunger because maybe they can't fend for themselves, they can't get food. But there's also isolation, loneliness. Because until they find a mate, they are on their own. But they don't have that community, which it is that they have, right? And then one of the other images that, as we were talking, came through. So a part of my youth was spent speaking Afrikaans. And if you as a breeder saw a pigeon that attracted you, that you wanted, you would take your strongest, your strongest pigeon, the one that is home, that's very familiar with your place, that grew up in that loft, and you would set that one out to go and attract the other one. And in Afrikaans, it's a lokdief. Yeah, see the nod? There we go. Yeah, a lokdief. So it attracts the other one without fear of being pulled away. So that's what a breeder would do. And the thing for that was actually to bring it into safety, bring it into family, and add to what it is that the breeder already has. So as I'm speaking, I'm hopefully you're hearing some similarities to what it is that we are called to do. Right? So, and that's what I'd like to unpack for us today. Because I was like, Lord, pigeons, what? I heard on the radio not too long ago that the pigeons are actually very clever. They can do math now. It's like, yeah, UK study. They can do math. All right, so don't feel bad that I'm saying today we are like pigeons. All right, so Ephesians 1, verse 5, please. Thank you. All right, God decided in advance. He predestined us, right, in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Now, earlier when I was talking about the pigeons, you were thinking, listen, Enrique, that's actually quite selfish. This guy wants to have the pigeons for himself to look at and race and do whatever. But the thing is, if you read scripture, it's like, this is what he wanted to do. This is God. And it gave him great pleasure. So you are right. The breeder does want it for his own pleasure. God wants us for his own pleasure. We get the benefit of it. Think about it. We get the benefit of it, but for his great pleasure. Yeah. All right. So, in this invitation, the beautiful, and hopefully you've heard this already, that we are no longer orphans. Right? He actually adopts us into family. And the next scripture speaks to that. Galatians 4. But when the time came, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to that law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you and I are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. How beautiful is that? So, and some of us must say, hey, listen, I've always had a family, so it's not. So the context of this is that we were apart from him. We were actually in a different family before we came to know him, right? And he's calling us into his family. And he has called us into his family. And with that, because we are now his children. We're not seen as adopted. We are his children. We're an heir. But also there's a change in identity that comes because of that. So the person I was before is no longer. And the same thing with you, if you know him as Lord and Savior today. That you are an heir to his kingdom. That you are no longer the same person. That you have an identity in him today. Right. What is beautiful about this particular part I heard today, whether it was in prayer meeting, whether it was here in front, and several other points that I want to make today, was actually already, there was a precursor this morning. And it tells me that God is so aware of what it is that we need to hear, but also what it is that he wants to. He's very intentional in what it is that he wants to communicate with us today. The adoption isn't earned. John 1:12 says, yet to all who believed in him, Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 John 3, 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We're not just called it, we are children of God. And those scriptures just reinforces that identity that we now have through Jesus Christ. Isn't it beautiful? Hey, thinking I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing two new commitments that happened and stuff, and I'm like locking eyes and I'm like, oh, what an amazing testimony, but also what an amazing revelation to us who have actually accepted Him, that we are part of His family. I can't say this enough. All right, so like the homing pigeon that's imprinted at birth, right? When they are born, they are imprinted at birth, that is my home, that's my loft. We too, right from the beginning. So if you look at Ephesians, the verses prior to that, all right, prior to what I read, it actually speaks of before the formation of the foundations of the earth. It says that. So before the earth was, we have been predestined to be called children of God. That's how mindful He was of you and I. Thank you, Lord. All right. So we've been made to belong. So how do we respond to this? Question. How do we respond to this? Thankfulness, yeah. But before we experience that, there's an action. It's actually accepting the invitation. Obedience, yeah. Accepting the invitation. So the thing is, so there's an invitation to us today. And if you have not today accepted that invitation yet, there will be an opportunity later. Even now, as you're listening to the service, if this is foreign to you, it's like, Lord, actually, I don't want to be a foreigner in your kingdom. Just pray that right now. And we're trusting that as I'm speaking, that this message will resonate in your heart and take root and will start producing fruit even now. Yeah? So I spoke earlier and I said pleasant lines, pleasant boundaries. Yeah? So the idea here is that as we accept that invitation, right, life looks a certain way inside His kingdom, inside His household. And looks completely different from what it is that we were used to. And quite often, like I said in the previous one, it's like it might actually look like it's confined. And it might even look, the things that we've come out of looks like freedom. It looks like there's no restrictions. But the reality is that there are snares. There are things that can trap us. There are things that can actually destroy us outside of the safety of the coop that we find ourselves in. Yeah? Psalm 16, I read earlier, it says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, indeed. So it's not barriers. There are protections there for our protection. Sorry, there are protection there for us, sorry. Yeah. There are protections for us. The barriers tell us where not to go into. It's not a wall. Think about a map. Just think about, okay, not U.S. and Mexico. Please don't think about that one. All right, but think about just normal maps. And think about the actual outline and the boundaries for each country. So a river, a road, a piece of dust, maybe a tree. You know what I mean? It's like, oops, you've gone too far. Get back inside. All right. So when we speak about these lines, we talk about that. So you're welcome to go outside, but we need to know that when we do step outside of it, we step outside of the covering, outside of the grace, the love that He has for us, where there's safety. And that is what He's asking us to do, to stay there, because that's where He has the covering for us. All right? These things are echoes in verses like 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard or protect you from the evil one. He's faithful. He will do it. And even sometimes when we step a bit outside and stuff, it's like He's faithful. But if we continue, we heard obedience earlier, but if we continue being disobedient, we step outside of that covering. And then we think He's not faithful any longer. But I'm the one that stepped out. Think about last week again. Yeah? Romans 8, and thank you, Angelo, for not reading the verse. Ours, 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But we heard what God was saying, and that's why I said there were so many communications today already of where he's speaking to us. So Angelo added to this. And he spoke, the Lord spoke clearly. And he continues that, like, around sin and these things that actually ensnare us. But there's freedom in him. There's a freedom that comes from knowing him. So in that freedom, like I said, in the coop, they fed, they sheltered, there's safety. It's time with the breeder, which they won't get outside. Yes? And outside, like I said as well, is that there's possible hazards. There's hawks and eagles and all kinds of things that possibly might take hold of a pigeon. Yeah? There's loneliness because they are not in that group, the flock of birds, the coop of pigeons. All right. And it means vulnerability because you're exposing yourself to something that is not known to you and not meant for you when you step outside of the covering of God. It's not meant for us. What's meant for us is his safety. And the thing with this is that Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. The next part of that says, now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Through safety, through freedom, it's found in those boundaries, in those lines, in the safeguards that God has placed there for each one of us. That is true freedom. Because you can still do whatever you want to. But our heart is that, and his heart is, that what I choose that I want is him and the ways of his kingdom. Above the things that might draw or attract me away. So definitely not doing what we want, right? Freedom from sin and freedom for the purpose that he has or purposes that he has for each one of us. And there are. There are purposes for each one of us to fulfill, both here and further, wider in God's kingdom. And if you don't know what that is today, we want to trust and we're going to ask God. It's like, Lord, please come and reveal. Please come and show me. Because we want to be in that slipstream. Because that's the point of least opposition or least resistance. Yeah? In John 8:34, Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Right? But then also in 36, he says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. But I've given you a way out. I've given you my son, Jesus. He's come, he sacrificed so that we could have communion with our God. We can sit in the coop and feel the loving embrace and feel him stroke us as he's just like over our heads, making sure that we've received feeding, making sure that we're covered, making sure that if we are unhealthy, we receive the healing that he has for us. So Satan, in that attraction that possibly might pull us away, he does promise us a freedom, or what seems like freedom, liberty to do whatever we want to. And I thought, actually, good opportunity to share some of where I experienced or wanted to experience that freedom. It's just a bit about my life, about our life. And when we were married about 2 years, I was actually one of the birds that was in the coop, but the things outside of the coop looked very attractive. I was thrown away, friends, alcohol, drugs, women, and I left the things that God had for me in the safety of his life. In safety of his home, for things that Satan presented through my own selfish desires. And for a few years, that was my life. and what seemed like freedom or getting away from what was, I thought, a shackle, right? Chains, things that were holding me back, was actually trapping me further into things that God didn't want for me. And instead of surrendering to God, I surrendered to my own fleshly desires. And because of that, almost faced a lot of things that people should not be facing. That was negative. Almost to the point of death. Even sometimes escaping imprisonment. And those are things that I had given myself to. Outside of the kingdom. The things that had drawn me away from him. And for my own selfish pleasure. So instead of being a pleasure to him, I wanted to pleasure myself. And it came to a point where actually I realized, hey, this is not, and the circumstances, we can talk again, because I don't want to talk about that. I'm giving you a little tidbit, because I want you to hear that this is not theory for me. This is not something that somebody just spuch and plucked type thing. It's something that I live and have lived, and trust God will allow me to continue to live. Yeah? And the testimony is to glorify him, because that is what it was, and what you're seeing before you now is what it is and what it's become, because of the invitation that I accepted. Because when he called, I eventually answered. Because believe it or not, I was stubborn. Sometimes I'm still stubborn. But I was very stubborn. And even stubborn, like I said, unto almost death. But because of his grace, because of his love, because of what he has for each of us, he welcomed me in. And from that day, a transformation started. A process of healing, a process, like I said, of restoration. Still continuing. I have not arrived. Because of God's grace, I'm standing here before you. A new man, a new creation. A family that is healthy, serving him, serving God. Because he led, I followed, and I'm leading, they following. And I trust that as they lead, others will follow. And that's what we all are called to do. So I want to encourage us even with that. As if you're feeling that this is maybe not where you find yourself right now for yourself, that you can rest in his care. It's available to each of us. You can rest in his care. If you're tempted by false freedoms, right? Consider, because this is the thing. When things were dire with me, I reached out to the church. Because I knew where my breeder, my God was, there was safety. I reached out. I knew where to go. Because it was ingrained, it's been ingrained in all of us. Remember what I read earlier? Since before the foundations were laid. Foundations of the earth. It's in each person, whether they confess with their mouth or not. It is in all of us. That we know where that home is. We know where that coop is. But we may be just getting lost, trying to find that direction. So we want to encourage us all to find the Lord's face, to pray. We don't know how to pray. It's a beautiful place you can come. Obviously here, but on Wednesdays we have community. You can reach out to people here. You can come into community and people can pray for you if you don't know how to. He's placed us into this community of faith so that we can actually receive here in this present day the love that he has set out for us. So that when we think we are distant from him, we realize that he's actually very close. John 12:32 says, "And I," this is Jesus, "when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So he draws us through the sacrifice that he's done, sacrifice he's made for us, right? And the importance there is that we are actually called to reflect the light that we receive. So think about that homed, strong, foundational pigeon that the breeder sends out when some stray is out there? Because he wants that stray. All of us at one point in time were found to be strays. And either through a miracle, Jesus himself spoke to you, or he used somebody that is strong and solid in the faith to come and speak to you. And because of the encouragement, because of the life that they were living, you saw something. You tasted. Taste and see, we prayed this morning. You tasted. There's something here. And that thing drew you in. You didn't know what it was, but you've come to know that it's Jesus through the Holy Spirit bringing us to God. Yeah? So today, as I'm saying this, some of us might be like, actually, I don't know what you're talking about, Enrico. I want to say, he's calling. He's there. He's here. Calling. He's giving the invitation. All right? Matthew 5:16, just with regards to that pigeon analogy, attracting others. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're called to live a certain way. It's not just lip service. And that's the thing that attracts. It's because others see God glorified in and through our lives. That's the testimony. It's like, why are you smiling when things are so, like, it's pushing on you, it's like under this pressure. How is it that you have a smile on your face? I know the truth. And the truth has set me free. Yeah? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And the thing is, we all call to be that rooted believers that attract others. Importantly, like I said, we are called and we should be living this daily. Nobody's being forced. We shouldn't be feeling that way. It should be, oh, there's a call. I'm responding. Because I see right there in the coop, in the safety of that, there's community, there's family, there's safety, there's feeding, yeah, spiritually. The things that I'm lacking is there. Not the things that I think I need, the things that I want, but the things that I truly need that's been set out for you and I. Those are the things that we are called to. God offers us real freedom. And in 2 Peter 2, verse 19, we are warned, we get this warning. It says, false teachers are those who promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So if today something has mastered you or I, we have the opportunity to get free from it. Today. And you might just like, what could that be? Last week, easily we spoke about it, but maybe you weren't here last week. There are some things that, unfortunately, you crave, you desire, things that you feel you are lacking, that this world is offering, and it's just always out of your grasp. It's just always out of your grasp. And right in front of you and I is the Son of God. It's like, you're looking for that thing that's temporary, that's going to fade away, that's going to rot. And I am here, I am eternal. And I will be with you always. Those are the words that he said. He's offering that to us today. So whether you are in his kingdom or not and stuff, but there may be these attractions, the things that are pulling, that's, oh, look at that. And get distracted by it. Oh, look at that. I get distracted by it. And I take my eyes off him where I'm supposed to be keeping my eyes on him like flint. We can pray today, and we will. And Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you set like flint. I won't gaze to the left or the right. And I'll look at this path that you set before me, and I'll run the race which you called me to. So how do we do this? How do I, as Enrico, attract somebody for the faith? Hey? How do you? It's a couple of few things, one or two. Maybe you're doing it already. Maybe you're not. Maybe you can add it to your arsenal. And that's not the team. I support Manchester United. So start by sharing your story. What is it that God has done? What is it that he's doing? What are you trusting him for? Because each three of those exercised faith. Yeah? Invite a friend, family member to church. Easy. So invite. You don't have to tell them anything. The worst thing that can happen is that church doesn't look like this, which has happened on occasion. It looks a bit different. But it's okay. It's still family. You can show kindness at work, among your friends, shops, wherever you find yourself. Show the kindness of God in your interactions with people. You can pray for the lost monthly on the first Monday. We get together, and one of the things that we always pray for is the lost. But you can do this in your private time, in your prayer closet, wherever you find that space, to pray for the lost. This is how we can be that strong pigeon, the rooted one in Christ, the one that attracts. So that is what, think about the Great Commission was. Go out, make disciples, teaching them everything I've taught you. The lines. How? You can find different ways, right? And the reason why we find this to be effective in terms of sharing your story, in terms of showing kindness, sharing family, is because it's relational. And that is what this world misses. They're trying to find the pleasure, they're trying to find that relational thing which they are missing. And here we have it. In and amongst ourselves. We should not have one person that's feeling lonelier. If we do, we are failing. We, you and I. There should be nobody here feeling left hungry, not filled. There should be nobody here feeling like there isn't shelter in his house. Because we are that embodiment here. Right? The truth is, over and above relational, it's also authentic. Because when I invite you into my house, you see everything. It is an open invitation, and some people are quite shocked by it, but you don't need to call ahead. Sometimes I won't be there, so probably helpful to do that. But you're never going to come to me hiding behind a door, not wanting to let you in. If I'm there, I'm there. And like I said previously, if we're having crackers, you're having crackers with us, unless you're bringing something else. Salad. Yes. All right. So just in closing, very importantly, God has invited each one of us in. The things I spoke about now, it's just a bit of elaboration on what it looked like. But each one of us have been invited in. Right? There's safety, love, and there's care in his safeguards. So when you hear or read the word boundaries in Scripture, it's not a negative. It's just, this is the field I've laid out for you. And think of it in the context of a map. You don't see that line drawn on the ground when you're going over the border. We actually, last year, we passed from one country into another, and the guy actually joked with us because we brought our passports with. But we didn't need it because it was just open. We didn't know better. We came prepared just in case. Yeah? People with guns or something. But the Lord says, like, there aren't any gods. Not God. Like G-U-A-R-Ds. There aren't any gods there. This is where you and I, we need to lean into him, follow the leading of the Spirit, so that we know we don't step outside of that. Yeah? And like homing pigeons, to return to where he's actually planted us. into the safety of his house. That's what we're called to. So today, if I can ask, as I'm closing, could we close our eyes, please? You, at least, not me, because I want to see what's going on. Okay. So I know you had your eyes fixed on me. Thank you. I appreciate that. But if I could ask you, just close your eyes. So if today you may be feeling like an outsider here. You've been here for a while. It's your first time. You feel like an outsider to what it is that I've been speaking about. You may be burdened by past or present mistakes. Or you're suffering from loneliness. Today I want to tell you that God is calling your name. He knows you by name. And if you'd be so bold, if that's you, and you don't have a relationship with him, or you're feeling any of the things that I just spoke about now, if you want to raise your hand, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. I'm going to ask somebody to come pray with you.